is enough now, O Lord. It is enough. 7 years ago, almost to the day, I preached my first sermon here at PCCH. It was on marriage equality, an inclusive defense of the beauty that is love, irrespective of its anatomy, irrespective of its orientation. 2 days ago marked the first anniversary of the deadly shooting at the Emmanuel AME Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. 1 year ago, almost to the day, Austin stood before us in this pulpit, and in response to that attack, she proclaimed, "I cannot keep quiet, and neither can you." 7 years and 2 days later, here we are again. The cycle unbroken, the violence undeterred. Isn't it enough already? Isn't it enough, O Lord? Jim Himes, the Democratic representative from Connecticut, who walked out of Paul Ryan's 16 seconds of silence for the victims in Orlando, wrote, "Silence is complicit. All I know is that regular moments of silence on the House floor do not honor the victims of violence. They are an affront. In the chamber where change is made, they are a tepid, self-satisfying emblem of impotence and willful negligence. It is action that will stop next week's mass shooting. I will not be silent." One commentator observed by saying, "I absolutely agree. Anyone who thinks that this is the best that we can do has never looked outside of this country or has incredibly low standards for Americans." It seems that when these unspeakable, unfathomable tragedies strike, and they do strike, and hard at that, the best of our efforts culminates in a well-meaning evening vigil, an organized moment of silence, a prayer offered for the victims and their families. We even go so far as to plant rainbow flags out on our church lawn, to change our profile pictures so to match the colors of the bereaved, and perhaps even attempt a paragraph or two on our Facebook walls, full of sincere and pretty words about how love will always win in the end. For ultimately, love is love is love is love is love, and all of that is great. It really is. But today I feel like I have something more than just that to say. I cannot keep quiet. I was unable to do so at Bible study. John Brewster can say as much. And now that I've been afforded this pulpit, I certainly will have to say more. Simply praying together, as powerful as that can be, or preaching that love conquers all, as inspiring as that could be, is not enough. Waiting, like Elijah, for God to appear in an earthquake, for God to appear in a fire or a gale of wind to fix our problems for us, is no longer enough. Indeed, as James says in our scripture, faith without works is dead, and it is time for us to speak up and do something. As Samantha Bee noted in her opening address on her show Full Frontal, she said, "Love does not win. Unless we start loving each other enough to fix our effing problems." We pray after every mass shooting, and yet they keep happening. She goes on to say, "Maybe we're not praying right. Can we check the instruction manual? 2 weeks ago, I preached in this pulpit about our instruction manual that featured the major prophet Elijah openly mocking and then murdering his neighbors. They were foreigners. They were prophets following a different religion, a different God. They were his enemies. He did not love thy enemy as thyself. Rather, he adhered to a section in Deuteronomy which advocated for death over life. Death to those who lead people astray from the one true God, in this case, the God of Israel. Today, our instruction manual follows on the heels of that story. As we as he realizes that his actions are about to come full circle. I imagine him thinking to himself underneath that bush, just what have I done and for what purpose? Will the cycle finally end with an eye for an eye and my own death? No, because God will only then bring up someone else, Jacob and Elisha, to continue to kill. Oh, just let me die, but rather continue on in this darkness. This storm will stop. This night must end. I've done enough. I've seen enough. It is enough. My friends, Elijah's moment of despair is very much like our own. Are we any better than our ancestors? Are we also going to be on the wrong side of history? Just when will it be enough? When will it end? This cycle can't continue, we think. This has to be the tipping point, doesn't it? Even though Sandy Hook should have been the tipping point, even though Charleston should have been the tipping point, this now really has to be it, doesn't it? Aren't you tired of waiting? I know I'm tired of waiting. As far as I can see, there is no great wind coming. As far as I can see, there is no earthquake about to shake us. As far as I can see, there is no fire raining down from heaven. It is up to us to take up the mantle which has been left to us to incite change through the efficacy of the Spirit which has been left to us by Christ, and true change at that, policy change. If we are brave enough to rise and say this to those in power, no more bloodthirst, no more revenge, no more stereotyping, generalizing, and fear-mongering, no more assault weapons, and the enabling of cowardice. For make no mistake, if it is not illness, it is sheer cowardice that pulls the trigger of a gun from a distance, firing it at innocent civilians. May our faith be married to our works. Let us actually do something. Let us access the link that Austin provided on her Facebook page. must always leave this place as an example of Christ's love to all people, no matter their skin color, no matter their religion, no matter their orientation. For in doing so, we help rid our country of this demon called Legion, masquerading in the circles of the vocal minority, at whose center are the ugly vices of bigotry, phobia, and the most queer of all lusts, the fetish for guns and violence. My friend, I have a dream this Father's Day. It is naive, but it's for my son Seth and Greg's daughter Madeline and all those children recently born or who are about to be, that one day our news outlets will lead and end not with shootings and massacres or propaganda and lies, but with gentle stories.